Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Senator John McCain is going to join us in about 20 minutes at 10:20 today. We'll talk about the Coyotes' future, the building, how involved is he on the west side and in the behind the scenes on all of this. Also want to talk to him about the Confederate flag issue that's going on today in South Carolina and over the last week. And the Confederate flag at sporting events has come up today in the last couple of hours, and to talk to him about that. And also the Diamondbacks get caught up on the sports news with Senator John McCain from his view. Michael Dello Russo will join us today. AZ United SC head coach, they have been grinding, and United gets a win over the weekend on Saturday over Seattle, getting ready for this upcoming World Cup match. U.S. wins over Colombia yesterday in the matchup against China this coming Friday. Jill Ellis just getting crushed, the coach from Team USA, and I've had a couple players that are not going to be on the pitch. So we'll talk with Coach Dello Russo as we do every Tuesday, SC United, Talk United, United SC head coach Michael Dello Russo with us. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford experiences like this. Next week, I'm out. I'm on the coast. And my wife's going to head out a couple days early. She's going to take out the Explorer. She'll have it loaded up. We're heading to the beach. Going to be on the sand. Going to get away, decompress. I'm going to head out a couple of days later, my Fusion. And I'll get great gas mileage. I'll have room for my clubs. You know, just because it's a hybrid. Like last weekend, I was up in Pine Top. And I was able to fit a couple of bags of golf clubs into my in my trunk. And have plenty of room for four people in my Fusion. We're able to get around in comfort and style and luxury. People said, that's a great-looking car. Guys, if you're in the market for a new vehicle or certified pre-owned, Santan Ford and General Manager Tim Hovick, that's the place that I've been a part of. They've been a part of us since day number one here at sports360az.com. Sign on yourself. Check out their wide variety, wide selection at santanford.com. Or stop on in at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Tim Hovick and Santan Ford, it is all about you. I think there's quite a few things going on here in the middle of the day. Tom Brady's Deflategate hearing is going on, the national story, and he wants the suspension thrown out. Goodell, is he going to cut it down to two games? That's just one of those that's going to go back and forth. And sitting here towards the end of June, it's going to drag on a little bit longer. I'm not going to use that as a crutch to get through a show every day and go back and forth. What should happen? What do I think is going to happen? Well, I would tell you that I don't believe that Goodell can just wipe it out entirely because it would show that he had no spine to him. Brady, on the other hand, wants it thrown out entirely. Of course he does. The PSI and his championship ring that he got last week, I think states otherwise with the football. So you can't just walk away from this entirely if you're Roger Goodell. So that story is going on here in the middle of the day. Closer to home, so the Suns draft this Thursday night became much more interesting to me last night when I saw the published stories of Eric Bledsoe and number 13 to the Knicks for the fourth overall pick. Now, if it's me and where the Suns are right now, which is a team in transition, there's no other way to put it. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat this. They're not close to being one of the elite teams in the Western Conference. Do I think that Eric Bledsoe is the type of guy that wants to sit through a rebuild or would rather be in New York playing on the big stage with Phil Jackson and Carmelo Anthony, even if they're not any good either? Yeah, I do. The unfortunate side of things with where the Suns are right now is attracting big-name players and keeping them here long-term. The Suns just merely are a stopover for big-name players, or they're going to use them as a leveraging point to get a better contract. I could be proven wrong on this, and I hope that I am, but I don't think I am. Next week when free agency starts, last summer the Suns went big-game hunting. Give them credit or criticize them. Either way, when they went after LeBron James, they had no shot at getting him here, but they went after him nonetheless. It made for great conversation. It was a token of to the fans and even to those of us sit behind microphones and cameras that we're trying to be serious about this. They couldn't land the best player in the game to even come here to visit. So do I believe next week that when guys like LaMarcus Aldridge up in Portland become free agents and are available, that they're going to look this direction? If Dwayne Wade opts out in Miami, do I think that he's going to look at coming to Phoenix, or do I think he looks at going to Los Angeles or going to Cleveland? It's more the latter of the two. So if the Suns can get the fourth overall pick, is there really a player at number four that you can land, given that this year's draft, from everything that we've heard, it's Cauley-Stein, it's Russell, and it's Okafor. And after that, it's the foreign players and, you know, just guys that may end up being, you know, they may have fallen in love with somebody, but you open up another hole with Bledsoe being gone. Who would have thought, you know, a year ago, not quite a year ago, 11 months ago, there was Isaiah Thomas and there was Goran Dragic and there was Eric Bledsoe. If this comes to fruition, if this comes to pass, and the Suns were coming off a season that they barely missed the playoffs, if this were to come to fruition with Bledsoe being moved, who would have predicted a year later all three of them would be gone? And you've got to build your backcourt. I like Bledsoe as a player, but if the indication, if you feel like you can improve the team dramatically by getting the fourth overall pick, I myself don't see it. If we're talking about, oh, they're going to make a deal with Minnesota or they're going to make a deal with the Lakers or with Philadelphia, I'd say, heck yeah, let's get all over that. 13 in Bledsoe to get to up to 3 or 2 or 1? Pretty steep price for one player. And the Dwayne Wade situation, I know that Suns fans don't want to hear this, but we have fans of other teams watching as well. If, in fact, Dwayne Wade decides to go to the Lakers, and the Lakers had Clarkson last year, and he improved quite a bit. He was one of the best young players in the game. And there's quite a bit of chatter that the Lakers are talking to several other teams, including Sacramento, about DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins at one point in time was one of the biggest knuckleheads in the NBA. Now he's turned into one of the better big men in the entire league. They can get good in a hurry. I myself, if the Suns could find a way to entice and get a better position than just up to 4, could I get to 3? Could I get D'Angelo Russell and move Bledsoe out of here? Could I talk to Philly about it? That's probably the direction I would go. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, to me, I read an interview with him that he said he wants to be Manu Ginobili. That's the player that he aspires to be. Well, I'll take that on my team. I will take that on my team. And there's a lot of stuff floating around the draft. Most of it doesn't come true. But those are the two big ones that jump out at me that I can see actually happening. I really can see these things happening. They may not. If they sit there at number 13 and we come back together on Friday, I don't imagine that we're going to sit here on Friday and say, man, did they kill it? Oh my gosh, did they make an impact? I don't see that happening. There is some conversation in the agent community that Stanley Johnson could slide down to the Suns at 13. I happen to like him a lot. He is a bull in a china shop. I'm not quite sure why he would slide or how he could slide that far. I don't find that to be necessarily the truth, but this is the time of year where agents float things out for guys like me to throw it out there so you'll buy into it. It'll be written about. You have to gauge that. On the baseball front, so the Diamondbacks sent Addison Reed down to the minor leagues. Will we ever see Addison Reed back in Arizona? Will we ever see Addison Reed back up on the hill again? They sent him down to the minors, and they open up a series at Colorado tonight. They have the Rockies, they have the Padres, they have the Dodgers, and then they have another series with Colorado, a four-game series. 10 of their next 13 are against the two teams that are behind them. Get a little bit of a run together, like what they're doing with their young pitching. I don't see how you can be critical of this franchise. And I see the TV ratings, how strong they are. I think that they're heading in the right direction. I have mentioned Cole Hamels many times. The Rangers today, this morning, it is published in Texas, are now talking to the Phillies about Cole Hamels. That would be my guy. I'd go after Papelbon. I'd go after Hamels. But I believe the Diamondbacks don't see it that way. My feeling in talking with people there is we are not going to mortgage our future by trading away young players that we believe can be in our rotation, especially in starting pitching for years to come. That sounds fine. They traded one over the weekend with Bronson Arroyo that I think you have to give this trade some time, but I get it. Please take Bronson's contract off of our books. We don't care that he can play guitar and he's a nice guy and girls think he's cute. Don't care. Can he pitch and are we going to get the most money for him? So they make the deal and I get it. We'll see if the deal comes back and bites them in the backside in a couple of years. If the minor leaguer they traded away, they're number one from last year. If Toussaint, if he turns in anything with Atlanta, that's a bad deal. Addison Reed, I don't know what they could have done with him up here. You know, they're bringing him into situations where he still is not getting the job done. He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look confident. Daniel Hudson looks much more confident. Brad Ziegler looks much more confident, and yet I hear from people down there, we need to address our closer situation in a more permanent role. Well, I don't know if that's Daniel Hudson being your closer, or if you just feel like we're seeing 96 out of him right now, but we have other intentions. It's hard to get a read on the team. I watched the World Cup last night. USA beats Colombia, and they weren't impressive. Abby Wambach looks old. Jill Ellis, their coach, just comes across as, I am smarter than anybody. Tony DeChico was ripping on her on the broadcast, which I thought was great. I loved it when people, you can't sit there. I was having this discussion with my wife and my daughter. We're a big soccer family. I'm having this discussion, and they're like, well, shouldn't you be cheering for the USA? You shouldn't be such a downer. I'm not being a downer, but come on, they're supposed to be Colombia. And their next match is on Friday. The best story of all, though, is Diddy. How can you not love that? Eric, when you heard the Diddy story yesterday, when you're coming back from your cruise to, where were you? Oh, so you weren't cruising. You weren't cruising. You were gone for how long?
I was gone for 3 days.
In our employee handbook, I think, or I looked in the small print of the contract. You have 97 days of vacation. You've used already 92 of them this year.
Seems about right.
How many more do you have left?
About 89.
Yeah. 89. Yeah. So did you heard about P. Diddy yesterday?
I saw it on Twitter and I chuckled because it's the time of year where people do stupid things. You know, we're not in the I guess people do stupid things all the time.
Sure.
But it seems like in the dead of summer, you hear of more athletes getting into problems. And now we have a famous musician, producer,
we have a dad.
Whatever, a dad of a student athlete at UCLA who took it a little bit too far and then was escorted off by the police.
He didn't take it too far. He just didn't agree with the training technique from the strength coach. So, of course, he did what all of us would do. He went and got a kettlebell. And of course, we would do that. I mean, let me find the kettlebell, and then I'll go after you about this. And then I'm going to have 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon thrown on me. Then I'm going to have one count of making a terrorist threat, which I want to hear what the terrorist threat was, because I'm sure that's pretty amusing. And then I'm going to have 1 count of battery. Now, there are dads all the time. I almost took down a coach on my daughter's softball team back in the day. Almost. I had to walk out to the mound after it was over and was very direct and very calm. But I wanted to throw him down and thought about it as I was walking out there. I thought better of it. I don't know many dads that don't have that moment where you think about it. We're going to talk more about this as the show moves on. But Senator John McCain is going to join us on the other side. Senator John McCain on all things going on in the world of sports here in Arizona that I see, and also some national as well. I want to have a real discussion with him about the Coyotes' future and the downtown arena and talking stick and all of that, his view on what's going on with the Coyotes. We'll talk about the Diamondbacks because I know he's big on them, if he sees it as I do, where they're in a race. And also on the Confederate flag issue debate in Charleston. There's no debate today in Charleston. But there are sporting teams today, the Carolina Panthers and Washington Redskins, that are talking about it too. That's Senator John McCain. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Senator John McCain joins us now for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ, Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports carries our show day in and day out as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Senator, how are you?
Fine. Only a couple of minutes. That takes me that time to clear my throat. Come on, Brad.
You know, I ran into Andy and said, "Do you want to host some time when Senator is on?" And he says, "The amount of questions I would throw at Dad would take a while." So, you know, it may be one of these days where I'm not sitting here and I just kind of surprise you with him. just so you know, well, that day may be coming.
Next time you have him on, ask him about the cards that he has going back, I do not know how many years. He's got one of the best card collections of, I think, of anybody in America.
Really?
And his hero is always Johnny Bench, who I still see on commercials. You've probably seen him too, but no, Andy's a great sports fan.
No, he said if he comes on, he can talk Reds, and I think in the news on Pete Rose in the last 24 hours, he'd be stumbling all over himself, but
that'd be
a way to work out. Hey, so the Diamondbacks, I'm on this kick here, Senator, of guys, you're a game under 500. You're only four back in the wild card. I actually think they're in a race, but I'm not getting that vibe from downtown from the team as of yet. What do you see on the baseball team?
I'm very encouraged. I am very encouraged at the management. I think we've got the smartest guy in baseball basically running things. How many times have I stayed up? You know, it's 3-hour time change, you know, and I stay up. I want them to hit 500. How many times have we been one game
eight.
Below?
Eight times.
Eight. Yeah. Eight times. Tonight's the night. I think, you know, we are blessed. I mean that seriously, with a young man named Goldschmidt. Goldie is probably one of the finest young men that I have ever met in my life. He should be a role model to every young athlete with his modesty. And frankly, I think he should be MVP. Obviously, we've got a long season to go, but and some of these young guys are playing. Jake Lamb is doing well.
Tomas.
So many of them are playing well, and I think we've got a good manager. By the way, I'm really sorry to hear about Gibson. It's sad, but anyway. I'm optimistic. I think we've got good management. I think we've got good ownership. I've always been an admirer of Derek Hall. And so, look, let's be a little optimistic. And I think they're playing hard. I really do. But also, don't you think, Brad, that the moral of the story is pitching and pitching and pitching?
Well, sure.
We know why we won the World Series. One of them, Randy Johnson. The other, Curt Schilling.
Are you going to go to Cooperstown for Randy next month? Can you make that?
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. It's wonderful the way Randy has come home to the Diamondbacks. I saw him at spring training, and I've seen him since then. He's a great guy, and I'm glad he has really had such a wonderful relationship with the D-backs.
Senator John McCain with us for a couple of minutes. You could make the argument, Senator, that Goldschmidt is the MVP. Tomas should be getting some looks at Rookie of the Year. I'm not saying he's going to win it. And while Chip Hale's not going to be Manager of the Year, if you look at their record, and you talked about the pitching, what he's been able to do, and I think the spark that he has provided, they've got three guys that should be looked at for some awards this year, and in particular Goldschmidt for MVP. If he's in D.C., and you see Bryce Harper there all the time, Goldschmidt probably is more a part of the discussion. Unfortunately, he's out here. Not everybody like yourself, Senator, stays up till midnight to see how good a player he is.
Well, I think that's the difference, obviously. If Goldie, in all due respect, were playing with an East Coast team, you would see him with a hell of a lot more visibility. But I still think that he's steady. Harper has been, as you know, streaky, mm-hmm. and he's a great player, don't get me wrong. But I think if you asked players who would you rather have batting third or fourth for you, I think it would be pretty much unanimous for Goldie. And the other thing is, you know, the guy's demeanor is so good. He's really a very remarkable young man. And I just one other thing, you know, early on we were losing the one run games. Mm-hmm. It just was. In some ways, it was so saddening because we were losing 3-2, 2-1, etc. Now we're starting to win those one-run games, and that, I think, is going to be critical. And look, hope springs eternal. I'm an eternal optimist, but I think we've got a great shot at wild card. I really do.
June 23rd, and I was telling Eric, my producer, this morning that 13 of the next 16 are against the Rockies and Padres. So let's see where we are around the fourth, a little bit after the fourth. And they've got three in there with the Dodgers who kicked the Diamondbacks all around in L.A.
last
week. But, you know, let's see where they are.
But could I also mention one thing? I think the fans are starting to react to this team and its spirit. I'm glad to see the attendance going up. I'd love to see it go up a lot higher. And the one thing I hate is when the Dodgers come to town, I hate to see all those blue shirts. I hate it. And by the way, I hate them.
but you hate the Dodgers, Senator?
After what they did, I will never forget what they did in the swimming pool. Yeah. As long as I'm around, I will never forget that swimming pool incident. It was the no class act of the last 50 years.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's been that way with all the LA teams through the years. Let me get over to you on a real discussion about the Coyotes.
Sure. Yep.
So the Coyotes, I'm somebody that, sports is what I do, but I'm more interested in our community first and foremost. And I've been concerned and troubled for years on what's going on over there. And I'm hearing, as I'm sure you are, and even more so, about the future of where they're going to be. I cannot see them leaving the state of Arizona. What do you think, first on that note, of them potentially leaving?
Well, on the first note, you know, hockey players have choices just like any other professional athletes. And what worries me a great deal right now is that we've got a new owner and he's willing to spend some money. This consortium will spend some money. We no longer are owned by the NHL. And with all this turmoil, what will be the decision that some good hockey players will make to whether to come to Arizona or not? That is, the more turmoil, the less likely we are to get some of these great players, when otherwise they love to live in the Valley. I've talked to too many of them. Talk to Shane Doan. He could have left many times, but he wanted to raise his family in the Valley. So I'm worried about that a great deal. Our ability to attract quality players who would consider going to what is clearly an unstable situation. I think the second thing to worry about is that it's possible that, look, Seattle would love to have a team. Quebec would love to have a team, as you know, Brad, and they may start making offers, and I would hate to see that. And we have to settle this whole issue out as quickly as possible, or I fear it could do long-term danger to the stability of the team as well as the location of the team.
I know you have.
You see my point?
Sure, I do. But you have on your plate much bigger priorities than a hockey team. Okay.
That's true in some respects. I'm chairman of the Armed Services Committee in a very unstable world. But look, I love the sports teams in Arizona. When I was running for president, it was kind of a reprieve for me in a way, because the first thing I would try to do is find out what was going on with the various teams, watch whatever games I could. It's my way, frankly. The benefit of all of our teams has been a great benefit to me, not only to relax but enjoy. And it's what a mediocre high school athlete is generally like. That's me.
Have you gotten involved, or do you plan to get involved in the arena deal termination with the West Valley first? We'll go downtown in a second, but West Valley first.
I really can't. I can urge these people to come to agreement, but you know, for me to parachute in and obviously, if they asked me to do something, all I can do is kind of be a cheerleader and maybe sound a warning because of the situation that you and I just talked about. But no, it's just not something that, frankly, is an appropriate role for me.
Okay, and downtown, so Robert Sarver has publicly said, Jerry Colangelo has said, that downtown, the arena, the footprint is too small to do a refab on it. A lot of discussion about Robert looking at moving and building a new arena south of the present U.S. Airways, which would be then turned into a mall, shopping center, or some sort. There's also the conversation of Talking Stick having drawings together to build an arena for the Suns. Downtown is where I think everything needs to be. That's just me being here for 20-plus years. Do you, as a sports fan, see where we're going to go through a phase here of building? Even Arizona State's looking at doing some new buildings. And do you have, you know, a, you have a thought?
As you know, they're doing a really good job on Sun Devil Stadium, ASU is, as you know. And look, I there's one thing I really have enormous heartburn over, and that's the taxpayers paying for arenas and sports venues. But the fact is, that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in, and it is what it is. But I think that given the fact of our growth, larger viewing audience, all of those things, I think it would argue for a new arena, and that, in my view, would be attractive to not just basketball but hockey as well. So, they also use these arenas, as you know, for concerts and a lot of other things. We are becoming, I saw just in the Republic that last year was the highest, biggest year. 2014, I think, was the biggest year for tourism we've ever had. You're going to see a lot more of that. And, of course, sports teams is a signature of a first-class part of the country.
And you could also use these venues for political events as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Would be...
Maybe it might be a good thing to have a rally down there. If I decide to run for president again, hell of an idea.
Yeah. When are you going to decide on that?
If I'm going to decide to run for president again, I want you to personally kick me where it hurts the most. There's a famous Southern philosopher that once said, there's no education in the second kick of a mule.
Well, then you're calling me a jackass. I'm not a mule. I'm talking with John McCain for a couple of minutes. Before I let you go, so I'm getting questions from people today about the Confederate flag and sports. The Carolina Panthers today have stepped up and said they want it removed at South Carolina from the Capitol. The Washington Redskins case, within the last hour, their side has come up and said that this will now impact the Redskins case. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure of the details of that. I know that this is a story that is very red hot right in the middle of the news. Where are you at on this?
If I could just take a second with you. In 2000, I was asked the question about the Confederate flag in the South Carolina primary when I was first running. I said it was a state issue, which was a cop-out, and one of the worst things that I have done, to the point where after the 2000 election, I came back down to South Carolina and gave a public press conference saying that I had been wrong and that the Confederate flag had no place in America or in the state capital of the state of South Carolina. I did it in Columbia, South Carolina. So I've been on record for 15 years saying that this is a symbol of racism. And I would like to point out that my family goes back to the Civil War, and my great-great-grandfather and uncles and others fought on the Confederate side. And that's what they believed in. But this flag is a symbol that is offensive, and it should be taken down. And I was proud of our South Carolina governor and my friend Lindsey Graham yesterday that they made that pretty very clear statement.
Fair enough. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. We'll see you down the road.
Go D-backs. Tonight it's a little earlier game, so I'm happy to tell you that. It's Central Time rather than it's only 2 hours instead of 3 hour difference, so I'll be watching.
Well, have fun with it. Thanks, Senator, as always.
Thanks, Brad. Bye.
Senator John McCain with us for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us. I join you Monday through Friday for a couple of hours every day. Things that I see going on in the world of Arizona sports and nationally as well. Thanks again to Senator John McCain for being with us, taking some time out. Michael De La Russa will join us just after 11 o'clock. AZ United SC head coach. Every Tuesday we talk United, walk United. United back home at Scottsdale Stadium this Saturday night at 7:30. And also we're going to talk to him about the USA women's match yesterday against Colombia, where I was thoroughly underwhelmed. To this point, I'm thoroughly of the opinion they're not going to make it through. Germany beat Swedes 4-1. Sweden had a draw against the USA. So if you have your questions by the way, for Michael Della Russo, you can shoot him in to me, brad@sports360az.com. That's where we take your questions, brad@sports360az.com. Eric, have you ever messed around with a kettlebell, by the way? Have you ever been in a spot in a weight room where kettlebells been brought up?
No.
I've had people that have asked me about kettlebells. Can we get a picture of that, do you think, before the show's over?
Sure.
Is that possible? Because there's been some people who are like, kettlebells. I've never heard of such a thing. And it goes back to the P. Diddy story. So imagine you're the dad that is really upset with how a coach is getting into your kid. I've coached kids, not been in a weight room. This is a college player. I've not coached a college. I've coached high school. I've coached club. I've had parents that have gotten all bent out of shape at me about things. Some that have been somewhat threatening. And so I get it that there's going to be a dad that gets bent out of shape every now and then, or a mom. I've had moms that have been, why aren't you playing my daughter more? I don't know, because she has two left feet. How's that for an answer? You're supposed to get my daughter a scholarship. Yeah, I'm probably thinking it might better be served in medical school because she can't play. She doesn't want to play. You're seeing the golden rainbow here of trying to get into something in athletics through sports and the kid can't play. I don't know if Diddy's son, Justin Combs, who had the scholarship, has a scholarship from UCLA. I would imagine the next step in this, the next step in all this for Jim Mora is, this is a slippery slope for UCLA. Because look, kids that are out there at the high school level, if Diddy's son is dismissed from UCLA because the dad acted inappropriately and was arrested, is that one way that this could go? How is that going to be perceived? Are there people at other colleges that have said, hey, you know, you bring your kid over here, we'll take good care of him. If you're Arizona or Arizona State, you're sitting here in this state and you're recruiting kids out in Los Angeles, of course you're going to keep an eye on this. If you think I'm reaching on this, then you really don't have a grasp at all of the recruiting process.
And don't forget, Brad, ASU recruited Snoop Dogg's son, who now is at UCLA playing with P. Diddy's son.
Yep.
So it's not the first time ASU, if ASU or U of A decides to maybe pursue this kid, if he decides to transfer or whatever.
Sure.
Because there are, you know, the power of having an influential parent in college athletics is bigger than imaginable. Because it's like free $1 million advertising for the school.
No, it's a billboard that you can sit there and say, yeah, Diddy's here at practice today. You want to go over and see him? Hey, Diddy, come here and meet this recruit. It's all well and good, and it's really cool when things go right. But when you, Eric, when you have that, to your point, when you have that parent and things get sideways, like in this case, this is a gigantic problem for UCLA today.
I did a story last fall, I believe, right after Christian Kirk announced that he was going to Texas A&M for Sports 360 AZ, and I asked him, what's the craziest thing you were promised during recruiting? And his answer was, I was promised to meet celebrities and movie stars.
Yeah, that's USC and UCLA.
That's correct.
Sure. That doesn't happen at U of A or ASU. You know, I mean,
USC and UCLA are in California.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah,
it
right,
makes
right.
sense. So.
And that's the ridiculous part of this story. I would like to know what the one count making terrorist threats involves. What was it that he said that was of terrorism? You know, the first part of this was three counts of assault with a deadly weapon. Now, the deadly weapon is a kettlebell. And I've had people sending me notes that don't go into weight rooms that ask what a kettlebell is. That is a kettlebell. So when you have something like that, that you decide to go pick up and go after a strength coach, those are kettlebells. That's what he used to go after him. And one count of battery. Now, Mora came out and gave a statement. I've not heard from Mora yet today on this, saying that he was appreciative of his coach handling the situation in a professional manner. All right. There was no, this was a misunderstanding or this was something that we'll be working on behind the scenes. It was about the coach handling this in a professional manner. If you're Jim Mora, I would think you would have to look at the player and say, you cannot be part of this program, or because it's a college situation, kids get away from home, kids start that separation. It's, dad, you're banned from ever coming here again. By the way, Justin, this isn't going to impact you. Regardless, UCLA is in a damage control situation today. Much, much more than just Diddy being charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Do you think when bail came up and they told Diddy, Mr. Combs, your bail is set at $50,000, do you think he like took off a shoe and was like, yeah, I've got it around here somewhere. Just hold on. I think it's in one of these back pockets.
You know what? Probably.
Probably.
I'm thinking the bail part wasn't the big issue there. If he stands with Jim Mora, okay, I could see this happening because you know that Diddy's going to have his PR people there. The PR weasels are going to get involved in this, and they're going to say, look, Jim, strength coach, Diddy, you have to stand in front of a UCLA banner and show united front. Or Jim Mora is going to say, Justin is no longer part of our program and we have moved on. Or is a strength coach going to come out and is a strength coach going to say, I am moving on in this program? I acted. Is the strength coach going to fall on his sword? And how this is handled will send recruiting waves. We should get Jason on this. Not today, but it's something that's more than just all of the stuff that happened yesterday around UCLA. No matter what the strength coach did, no matter what the strength coach said, you cannot go pick up a kettlebell and go after somebody. You cannot. If you're a dad at the collegiate level, you can't go after a coach unless he has his hands and is throwing a kid down. I mean, even if he has his hands on the player and he's trying to shake some sense into him. Is that politically correct here in 2015? In some people's minds, it's not. In others, it's, yeah, absolutely. Is this a player that has had a sense of entitlement? I don't know that. But I know that when you're the one that gets the counts of assault with three counts of assault with a deadly weapon, and you're the one that gets the making terrorist threats, and you're the one that gets the one count of battery, and the football coach comes out and says publicly, I appreciate that my coach handled himself in a professional manner. That may be UCLA trying to do the spin doctor stuff here, but you can't do what the dad did yesterday. From everything that I've read to this point, I talked to someone over there yesterday about it. They said UCLA has got a real problem on their hands. This is not one that can just be swept away. They will try to. Boy, they will try to. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, I'm going to circle back around on this Lakers, DeMarcus Cousins. Lakers, if they get D'Angelo Russell. Lakers, if they are able to get Dwayne Wade to come here. What's fact, what's fiction? Try to put them all together. I don't think the Suns fans are going to like this next segment. I don't mean to be mean about this. I'm not. But there's a lot going on teams in the Western Conference with the draft coming up on Thursday. Stay with us. You know, the closer we get to the NBA draft, which is Thursday night, Eric, you're going, right? You're going to go to the Suns?
I am. I think Jared and I are going to tag team it down there.
Jordan wants to go, too. I'm not sure.
Team effort.
Do I need to go?
No.
You think I should go? I mean, I can go. And the thing on the draft is you sit there and you have monitors all around. They take a player. They come down. They say how great he is and that he's going to be this and that. And then they go back upstairs and they take another player. And there's all this food and guys gorge themselves. And that's all it is.
And then we look back and think, man, can you believe Alondo Tucker was a first-round draft pick of the Suns?
Right. That's not making fun of the Suns. That's just
It happens with every team.
Every year,
teams can look back and say, wow, I can't believe ...
Right. And so, you know, do I get more out of it sitting in my office at my estate and go through it or sit here in the studio? I don't know. I've got the moat with the alligators that they have to cross over
A plot of land? If you own a plot of land, that means you have a very big piece of property.
A nice little house.
I own a plot of land.
It's fine.
Could be like 10 acres.
So did I say Willie Cauley-Stein over and over in segment one?
You did.
So it's Carl Anthony Towns. I know this, and I appreciate people pointing it out to me. I got three names.
Easily confused. Same position, same school.
It's fine. I was on a rant about the draft. The Lakers, boy, the Lakers are becoming really interesting. If they get D'Angelo Russell, remember I saw him up in Portland against U of A, and I was just gushing all over him. He's great. And then I read an interview from him, and he says, I like to pattern my game after Manu Ginobili. And how can you not like that guy?
He's a plug and play.
Oh, yeah.
He's like Andrew Wiggins. Just throw him out there. He's going to be good. He's going to be very good.
I mean, Suns fans hate Manu Ginobili, and that's fine. Manu Ginobili is a Hall of Famer. He's really – I would take him on my team like that. So if Carl Anthony Towns goes to Minnesota and the Lakers sit there too, they could take D'Angelo Russell. They could take the pick and trade it. They could take Jahlil Okafor out of Duke. The trade that has been brought up, Mark Stein, who was on the show last week, and he's plugged in, and Chris Broussard. Mark doesn't miss very often, if at all. And he's reporting the Lakers are interested in trading for DeMarcus Cousins and giving up the number two overall pick for DeMarcus Cousins. So if you're able to do that pick, all of a sudden DeMarcus Cousins goes to the Lakers. Clarkson, Kobe's back. Free agency's coming. Dwayne Wade's kicking around the idea of going to the Lakers. All of a sudden, they're back. If the Kings make that move, George Karl makes that move. Evidently, the owner doesn't want to make that trade right now. But if they're able to push that through, you would look at the Kings and say they would have Okafor or they would have Russell. They would be heading in an upward trajectory. They're talking about trading Rudy Gay potentially. But still, they'd be heading an upward trajectory. Bring this up because the pressure then is on the Suns. All these teams in the Western Conference are making moves and getting better. The Suns, this report last night of Eric Bledsoe to the Knicks, along with 13, it sounds fine, sounds reasonable enough. I don't know if it's fact at this point. It's published in enough places, and by some people's opinions I respect, others it's like, but I should talk about it on the show. If the Suns make that move and the Suns get up to the number four pick, I don't think that's high enough in this draft to really get that's there's three players and that's it. Towns, Russell, Okafor. But if they're considering doing that, I'm pleased because I don't believe that Bledsoe is the end all answer to putting a team together that can compete just to get into the playoffs at this point. Those of you that watched me through the last 3 years here doing my thing, it's I want a title-contending team. Well, that's not realistic with this roster. But you have to build it piece by piece. They're in the ditch. Can they get out of the ditch? Could this trade help them get out of the ditch? That's my point. There's been some... In the last segment, I was talking about everything with P. Diddy. And during the break, three people sent me emails about this scout.com report that had the details of the incident. And I think this is worth reading to you. Going back on this story for a second. So Diddy turns out the details of the scout.com arrest. The incident began, this is according to scout.com, and Jason's with scout.com, Jason Jewell. I think they're very, very good at what they do. The incident began early Monday morning when Justin Combs, Diddy's son, was participating in an off-season workout on a UCLA field. According to sources, Combs, who will be a redshirt junior defensive back this fall, has missed some recent workouts and wasn't giving a great effort Monday morning. So UCLA strength conditioning coach Sal Lossi kicked him out of the session. Get out of here. At approximately noon, Combs and Diddy came to UCLA's athletic facility. While Lossi was in his office, which is adjacent to the weight room, Combs entered his office while Lossi was on the phone. Lossi asked Combs to wait a moment while he finished the call. Many sources who were in the locker room witnessed an angered Diddy go into the office, rattling off expletives at the coach. Lossi instructed interns who were immediately outside his office to alert campus security. Hey, interns, go get security. A still incensed Diddy then came around to Lossi's desk saying he would get campus security on Lossi's desk phone. Lossi then, according to witness, put up his hands in a non-threatening way and instructed Combs to get his father out of the office. Hey, kid, get your dad out of here. Diddy then walked into Lossi's hand and told Lossi not to put his hands on him. So that's an old trick. Hey, take a shot at me. In the next moment, according to many on the scene, Diddy then attacked Alassi until interns and other personnel pulled off Diddy. Diddy broke free again at one point, struck Alassi. Personnel were successful in getting Diddy out of the office into the weight room. Diddy picked up a kettlebell, which is a type of barbell, swung it at one of the interns. The recruiting website added that Alassi had scratches on his face and his shirt was ripped as a result of the altercation. The area in which this incident occurred, get this, is equipped with security cameras. Of course it is. The tape, which was viewed by campus police prior to Diddy's arrest, and no doubt is going to be the tape to see. There's always videotape around.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it on TMZ because they'll get it. They'll have it first if they don't already.
Sure, they will.
Because that's what TMZ does.
So in the interim, Diddy was transported to the LA County Sheriff's Department Reception Center where he was booked on assault charges and a handful of other charges for good measure, including one that evokes the word terrorist. So at some point, he used the word terrorist and he gets charged with that. What is going to happen here to UCLA's football program? And the tape, you know that this is going to become bigger than the two national stories today are this tape and Tom Brady in the courthouse. Those are the two. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic day in and day out. We have content up on our website, sports360AZ.com. Things a little different, not just the usual that's out there. We're very Arizona-centric. We have a national flavor as well. Things we see that we like to bring to you on a daily basis, like AZ United SC head coach Michael Della Russo. That is next. We talk United also about the Women's World Cup and their match yesterday and looking forward to Friday. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to talk United, AZ United SC, and also the Women's World Cup with head coach Michael Della Russo. A 2-1 win. How sweet it is over Seattle on Saturday night in Scottsdale. United is back home against Real Monarchs SLC. That is this Saturday night at 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. So Saturday night at 7:30, you can jump on into Scottsdale Stadium and walk United. Michael, how are you?
Good, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good, man. A lot going on. Good for you. That's all I can say on last Saturday night. It's been a few weeks.
It's been a little bit of a long time coming for this group, but put the pieces together is our most complete performance that we were going for, and we're not satisfied as a group because this is what I like about these guys. This is an expectation for them, not a surprise. So hopefully we can just build with it from here.
Let's go through the goals. We've got the video of it. John Topp in the 60th minute.
Yeah, it's obviously, they just got a player red carded, so that was a guy that had an assignment on a corner kick. We knew that that probably played to their disadvantage, so we emphasized Danny Garcia and Topp playing a two-man game out there. Did really well and got the best outcome possible, and that just kind of built momentum from there.
And you see the enthusiasm and the excitement from your team. It was like a breath of fresh air for them, and good for John. Long Tan comes back a short time later to put you ahead for the rest of the match.
Yeah, it was good work by Chinning. And then, obviously, Otis being in a great spot, serving a great ball, and Long getting across the guy, which I emphasized at halftime to him that he's got to start being a little bit more aggressive in the box and get in front of his defender. Did really well there and finished it perfectly. So I think, it was one of those games that it was, I think we came out really well in the second half from about minute 45 to 60. Even before they got their red card, we had much better of the play and we were going at them, creating a lot of chances. And I was just glad that we were able to, execute on both sides of the ball inside the box.
Head coach Michael Della Russo with us, AZ United SC. You can go to ArizonaUnited.com for your tickets this Saturday night at home, 7:30 against Real Monarchs SLC. Let's turn our attention to Women's World Cup then. Underwhelmed is what I've heard quite a bit through their first matches, including last night at Edmonton. What do you make of the women's team now that they're this point of the tournament?
They finished number one in their group, and they're in the quarterfinals with only allowing about, I believe, one goal. this country's tough, huh?
They care. They care.
I mean, I get it, but this is the life of a coach, you know? You win, and fans still aren't happy with the way you win. So I feel for it. Okay, yeah, you can nitpick, I'm sure. There's different ways, yeah. But I think the expectation is so high. That's what's challenging. And are they playing up to where they want to be? No. They'll admit that. I get that. But at the same time, they get a shutout win yesterday. I don't know. You know, Brad.
Is it,
you want to be a coach sometimes and then figure it out.
Sure. But is it that the back line and Hope Solo look so good, and up top it just feels like they're still searching and trying to figure out what they can do and to get something going from a consistent manner? Or, as you point out, look, they keep winning.
I mean, I think they're going to change some things. I think that's necessary, and they see it. They're the first people that probably know it. But their back four is extremely organized if people watch. And they, for the most part, keep the game in front of them. They know their limitations. And that's why they've been doing well. They have a good cohesive group. I think up top, it's just, you know, I think we're playing a little bit more direct than we would want. We're probably playing more direct than the coach would want. I think we have players that can move the ball a little better than we have been. And it's finding, you know, it's a tough time because they're trying to find cohesiveness in the attack in the middle of a World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's tough. I mean, the amount of time that Alex Morgan was out, Lombok was out, they were flirting with different, you know, combinations up top. It's a tough time to do it, but that's kind of the cards they've been dealt. So I think she has to go with essentially the hot hand and who's playing well at that time. They have a lot of options, which is great, you know, for a coach's standpoint. When you have that many options, I think you got to see. And if it's not working, then she can't be scared about pulling the trigger and seeing somebody come off the bench and make a difference.
Well, the matchup against China on Friday, I guess it's the Rapinoe-Holiday loss that they're not going to be there. Do you change formation? Can Wambach still do what Wambach can do at 35 years of age? That's all the buzz that I'm getting today from people and sending in notes and thoughts. And we could go through these one at a time, or does one jump out at you more than another? Do you need to change the formation? Go 4-3-3 if you're Jill Ellis.
Possibly. We've struggled a little bit through the center midfield, so adding another person in there. I'm not sure who's going to play in place of Holiday, but I think getting somebody maybe to play in front of those two might be good. We have pretty decent out-and-out wingers that can run at people and go all day, and then it's finding, is Wambach the person to play up high? Probably, but, you know, what she does really well is getting in the box and making things happen from there. So making sure you put the right people in place on the outside and underneath of her that can get her the ball.
And
so those are kind of questions that have to be answered.
Yeah, and Rapinoe has been so good. Is it Christian Press who's the one that comes in and replaces her? Rapinoe, to me, Michael, has been like a glue person out there for them.
Yeah, she's for sure. I think she's been their best player. I think she's their best out-and-out soccer player. Just her, you know, the way she delivers the ball, her touch, her calmness, everything that she kind of brings to the team is a little bit different than everything else they have. So essentially a 4-3-3 might be better, so you can just run at people. We might have to use our athleticism a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that the coach knows a lot better than I do, because she knows the day in and day out of the girls and how they react to each other. So,
but I guess
it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, but I guess just from my point of view and yours, I don't know, as I sit there and watch them, I saw Germany just blow right through Sweden, and Sweden drew USA. I don't see where the USA at this point, although their back line has been so good and Solo hasn't really been tested that much, can stay with France or Germany. Am I reading this wrong, or do you feel the same as me?
It's going to be a different challenge than they've seen, but I think, you know, Australia is a good team that we went up against. We did well, and obviously, yeah, you can say Germany's playing on a high right now. They're doing, you know, they're a very close-knit group, it looks like. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they've played against a team like the U.S. And, you know, a team as dynamic going forward when they're all clicking. And, you know, I think that's going to be the important thing. But you got to get through China before.
Right.
So honestly, it's going to be interesting. But France and Germany, they look very good. They looked very good the other day. But just like the U.S., they won the game, and now it's a clean slate. So I think moving forward, China's going to be a good challenge because I think China's a little bit different than anyone the U.S. has played so far.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. I'll see you Saturday night out at the stadium. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod, too.
Michael Dello Russo for a couple of minutes every week. AZ United SC head coach. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.